My name is Rick Alexander, and this is the Morning Coffee Podcast.
Oh, you are recording. Yeah. Fuck, yeah. I didn't even...
Oh, that's all right.
Sorry.
Number 63 in the Tao Te Ching says, act without doing, work without effort. Think of the small as large and the few as many. Confront the difficult while it is still easy. Accomplish the great task by a series of small acts. The master never reaches for the great. Thus, she achieves greatness. When she runs into a difficulty, she stops and gives herself to it. She doesn't cling to her own comfort. Thus, problems are no problem for her. So I wanted to kick off this episode with the Tao Te Ching, something I've been doing a lot of my studies in lately. For those that don't know, Taoism is a Chinese philosophy, and the Tao stands for the way. And so it's kind of a way to think about it, it is the way in which everything in the known universe flows, including the universe itself. Based on Taoism, God himself, God itself, actually springs from the Tao. All things spring from the Tao. It is the eternal way of all that there is. And so by getting into accordance with the Tao, you are able to move through life in a way that puts you in flow with everything else in the world. That's at least the philosophy behind Taoism. But I like using it as a study method because it talks a lot about fortifying your mentality against the different parts of your life that could go wrong. And there's many different parts of your life that could go wrong. You know, a lot of times the problems that we seek or the problems that we have, they're actually self-created. You know, a lot of times we victimize ourselves and, you know, sometimes we actually fear the idea of something far more than the thing itself. And so that creates our problems. Our fear creates our problems. And then sometimes you see that the shifting environment is what creates your problem. But you could also say that that's also you, right? Because you, oftentimes when our environment shifts, we have an idea about the way that something should unfold. And when it unfolds differently, we tend not to know how to navigate that experience. And so again, the Tao Te Ching, the reason I started with that is it talks a lot about how to deal with these difficult situations, these adversities that pop up, what to do when nothing is like what you thought it was going to be like, which is 2020, right? All the way across the board. Nothing is like we thought it was going to be. And I think for someone like me who kind of has a love for meditation and contemplation, something like this really gets me excited because it's like, oh man, this is why I do the work. You know, this is, if you have a copy of Burn Your Couch, if you have a copy of Ryan Muncy's Fuck Your Feelings, if you have a copy of any Ryan Holiday books, if you have a copy of the Stoic Philosophy sitting on your shelf and you find that you're internally freaking out because you don't know what to do because things that you enjoy have been taken from you, then perhaps just starting to contemplate some of the words that are written in there, when you really think about why that stuff exists, it does exist for moments like this when life doesn't turn out, you know, the way that you hoped it would. And so as I dissect this number 63, a few of the things that stand out to me are confront the difficult while it is still easy. And so, you know, I think back to the work I've done in the last couple of years, and I'm so thankful for it because now in a time where you realize, you look out and you're like, wow, life really doesn't look anything like I thought it was going to look right now. And nothing is, you know, all of the creature comforts that I normally rely on have been taken. And that's okay because I've spent my life trying to find the difficulty in experiences and go toward it. And I think this is really why you do that. And, you know, I have so much compassion for people that, like I said at the beginning of this show, that tend to victimize themselves, because right now I know that it can be real hell in your head right now if you are someone that haven't learned to take yourself out of the situation. And when we talk about contemplative practice, that's really what it is, right? That's why you meditate. It's so that you can get outside of your own personality structure and realize from a different view, things don't look so bad. We often trap ourselves with what we want or what we think or what should be, you know, what we believe should happen. And when we trap ourselves in what should happen, we make it so that life can no longer work out in our favor. But if you can empty yourself of preconceived notions, if you can empty yourself of judgments, what you find out is it's still happening in your favor. Now, I think it's easy to say that what you're doing is just putting a positive spin on everything that comes at you. And maybe there's an element of that, right? Maybe there is. But when I think about maybe just the level of internal happiness that I've had in the last few days, and again, so much compassion because I know there's so much suffering out there, like people are suffering from this in a very real way. Like people are dying, and I'm sure that we will continue to feel the continued suffering, not only from the disease, but the continued economic fallout. Like people are absolutely going to suffer. And I think for us that do the work, you know, and I know if you listen to the show, you're someone that does the work. This is where the world needs people like us. This is where the world needs people. They need leaders to step up, because people in their everyday life that are just, you know, trying to keep their head above water, once they meet a little bit of adversity, they find that it's enough to sink the ship. And so I do believe that times like this are times where all of us that do the self-actualization work to find out what we can really be in this life, this is when it matters. You know, it's great to have a bench press. It's great to have a good marathon. But man, if you have a great marathon, but you don't get to run it because a pandemic stops it and you completely fall apart, I'm tempted to think that you're going about the work in the wrong way, or maybe your ideals are off a little bit, or what you're hoping to achieve is off a little bit. But if you can bring yourself back to center, realize how innately strong of a human being you are for the work that you're doing. What I think happens there is you begin to see a space emerge in the world for people like you, people to be strong, people. And it's not necessarily putting a positive spin on it as much as it's looking the chaos right in the eyes and asking it for answers. You know, sometimes I say, why is this happening for me and not to me? And I know how personal development-y that sounds sometimes. Like, why is this happening for me and not to me? And it sounds so rote and memorized and stupid sometimes. But man, there's some answers in that wisdom, you know? And I'll tell you why. It's because when things go wrong and you're getting some sort of message, there's always something in it. If you can train yourself to look for that thing, what you do is you train yourself to always ascend, you know? And so again, like with this pandemic, for example, it's like, look, I got rid of 47 clients in the last 2 months. I actually took my business. I got rid of the Clarity Academy, right? I took the Clarity Academy down, stopped running cohorts, got rid of most of my clients. I've got like 3 or 4 clients left. And the reason I did is because I'm like, man, I feel really called to work with people in person. I want to give talks. I want to give retreats. So I started accepting offers to give for all of these different retreats. And I started trying to book my talk seminar, and I've been working on a bunch of lectures, which I love to do. And then this happens, right? And it's like, I couldn't have picked a worse time in 33 years of life to transition my business from offline into working with people at a time where it is literally illegal to be with people. And that causes me to take a step back and ask myself a few questions, you know? Obviously, as you guys know, I've taken a break from social media. I'm not doing as many podcasts. It's actually not because I'm suffering. It's actually because I just really felt the need to be contemplative about this. I wanted to ask myself, like, what is emerging for us? What are the possibilities? What are the opportunities? What does the world need? Like, what do people need of me right now? You know, in the last show that I aired, which was last Wednesday, I talked about how a lot of what's happening right now is that the world's just asking you not to be an individual. It's asking you to prioritize the group over self. And I think that's why we prioritize self in the first place, right? So that we can learn things about the world. We can, you know, the last stage of the hero's journey is sharing your medicine. And that's why we do this work, right? That's why we prioritize self. That's why I tell people, you got to be selfish long enough to learn to be good for people. Like I said, this is the time that it matters, because now it's time to be good for people. But, you know, there was a pandemic in 1918. Let me pull it up here. Yeah, the flu pandemic in 1918. That's a big range, 20 to 50 million people, according to the site that I'm looking at. The other range I heard was about 30 million people. So There was a flu pandemic in 1918 that killed over 20 million people. And, you know, you don't ever hear about it. You don't hear a lot about it anyway. Like, of course, people that study this kind of thing are, you know, CDC and infectious disease specialists. They track this kind of stuff, of course. And honestly, people have been saying for a long time, like, hey, we're pretty unprepared for a pandemic. And you got to ask yourself, why is it that we don't hear a lot about that? And, you know, one of the reasons that I as I was doing a little digging is people were so ashamed at how they acted when it actually hit them. You know, fear is a really crazy thing. It can make you do things that you wouldn't normally do. And just as a society, people realized that they were so unhappy with the way that they had reacted to this pandemic that it really got hushed up. And that includes media, that includes everybody, because people kind of lost their minds. And you know, right now there's a lot of fear, and I think the fear is just as equally, it can be just as equally as harmful as the virus. But I think when you have times like this where there's mass panic and there's mass fear, like what you really need is straight talk, right? Like you need people that are going to give you the facts, tell you what to do. You acknowledge the fear, right? Like that's what I've been kind of preaching this whole time, is you always acknowledge the fear, but then you make the best decision for you. And one of the things you cannot allow fear to do, and I am pretty hopeful, I think our society, I think our collective consciousness has progressed to a point where we're not going to get through this pandemic and be absolutely ashamed of it. I'm actually pretty hopeful of the opposite, even if it doesn't feel like it. You know, you watch the media and you see the polarization. And I saw one thing that said, this is the virus that divides us by race and class and age and gender and all this shit. And it's like, dude, where are you tuning in? You know, I mean, I really believe that on a mass scale, not everybody is, you know, heeding all of the warnings, but dude, a lot of people are prioritizing the group right now, and it's coming at the cost of their health, because a lot of the escapisms aren't available to them anymore. A lot of the things that people identify themselves, their 9-to-5 jobs, aren't available to them anymore. But one of the things that you absolutely cannot do is allow fear to make you mindless, right? That's the rub. That's like one of the real detriments to allowing fear to run your life, is because when it does, if you become mindless, you're tempted to become someone that you don't like so much. And so you always got to ask yourself, who am I going to be when all of this is over? Who do I want to be? What's life going to look like? You know, it's going to be a while before life goes back to normal, but you're conducting yourself now. And I just think how many people, man, I just know there's so many people out there that are agitated. They probably yell at their kids a little more, probably beat the shit out of their dog a little more, probably yell at their wife or their husband a little bit more. And I think this is the time, and like I said, in 1918, there was so much of that people literally, as a culture, we suppressed the fact that it actually even happened. It's kind of like you go over in Germany and try to talk to them about the 1940s. It's like, no, right? Like they just suppress it because it was so awful and they were so ashamed of how they acted that they literally don't talk about it anymore. And I would hate for that to be this, because every adversity that we meet is a catalyst for something. And that's why the questions that you ask matter. And I know I've said that on probably multiple times that I've produced content so far. You know, the questions you ask yourself in the midst of the turmoil, that's what's going to decide who you become. And then when it's over, that's who you're going to look back and see. You know, and so right now, like when things aren't working out and the fear starts to set in, what you don't want to do is become mindless, right? You still want to be the one that has agency over your life. And so I would say, if anything, is to just ask yourself to just think back, think about the fear. Yeah, it's scary, especially if you're in a city right now. It's like, it's very hard to do anything without being around people. I think the infection rates are actually probably way higher than we think that they are. And is that a reason to get mindless? It's like, no, because what happens is when you get mindless, you lose the ability to architect your story, right? See, that's the thing that all these people who have studied adversity, that's what they've figured out. That's what Viktor Frankl figured out in the fucking Holocaust, right? This guy was going through the most difficult times imaginable. And the greatest freedom that Viktor Frankl talks about is the ability to choose one's reaction to what happens. Because in this world, we are subjected to so much that's outside of our control. And that's just become so clear for every single human on the planet right now. It's like, whatever it is that you use to soothe yourself might have been taken away. And so now you're at a point where you get to actually exercise the greatest human freedom, and that is architecting your story, deciding who you're going to be when the dust settles, because you know the dust always settles. And in these moments, like, we can come out and we can vibrate higher. I think we can do it as individuals, we can do it as a society, we can really come together on this one. And then what you'll find is when you go back to the easy, because you chose to use this adversity for a springboard to get better, when you go back to life as you knew it before, it should feel a little better, you know? It should be a little bit different for you. And that's the thing that I keep finding. It's like the thing that really changed my life is I went through this really ridiculous breakup, and it like really like smashed my heart into a million pieces. It was like a lot of adversity. And I think we tend to be like, we try to blow by breakups. Like, well, it just happens to everyone. It's like, yeah, it does, but it's fucking terrible, right? But the reason I cite it is because it was the first moment in my life where I decided like, no, I'm getting better from this. I'm going to figure out whatever happened here. I'm going to figure out how I contributed to it. I'm going to figure out what I can do. And I'm coming out of this on the other side better. And I can tell you that like, it always gets better, because feeling broken is just as incomplete as feeling whole in this life. It's all cycles and we move through them all. But how you act while you're moving through the cycle decides who you become on the other side of it, and then what the next cycle you go through is. And I think that's why in this Tao Te Ching verse, it says confront the difficult while it's still easy, right? Because then you train yourself so when you're in moments like this, you know what to do. This is business as usual. And like I think I said on the last podcast, like there's a part of me, like so much compassion for the people that are suffering. And I really can't overstate that, because I know that people are actually really suffering from this in many different ways, psychologically, physiologically, in all of the ways. And I'll become one of them, right? Economically, like I told you, like I made the worstest time ever to decide to do all my business in person. The day before I launched the Clarity Academy workshop, actually, the first one, which was starting this whole new career for me, is when all of the tight, stringent, like lockdown basically took place. And I was just told like, listen, you can't have this at this event space, and it's not going to happen in the future either. So it's going to be a few months. And yeah, it's tough. But fuck, I'm ready for it, right? I'm at least asking myself the right questions. And, you know, I found it to be a really cool contemplative point, which again is why I kind of pulled off from the podcast and stuff for a little bit. It's just because I'm working on a new book and I'm just really excited about the stuff I'm working on, and just didn't want to be front facing so much. But I do believe that any leader in history, they can say whatever they want, but it matters what they do, you know? And so you as a leader right now, leader of your family, leader of your friend group, leader at work, dude, there's all these opportunities to step up and become a leader, but you can say all that you want. What actually matters is how you're being. And when it comes to getting other people to follow you, that's what they're actually going to follow, right? Like, because people hear what they want to hear. We have selective hearing. It gets chopped through our childhood. You know, there's all these reasons why we don't hear leaders or hear people in the right way. But if you can learn to live out what you're saying, to embody your philosophy, that vibration is resonant, and people will feel it and they will follow you. And so the last part that I wanted to talk about in this verse is, the master never reaches for the great, thus she achieves greatness. When she runs into a difficulty, she stops and gives herself to it. And that's what I've chosen to do during this time. I try to look at all of life as a teacher. I try to figure out, what is this telling me? What do I need to do differently? How have I conceived the world? Like, what, you know, where are the chinks in my armor? How can I make myself better? You give yourself fully to your problems, not because you want to architect the way that the world is going, because you want to ask yourself, what are the answers I need so that I can take the pen back and be the one in control of my story? All of humanity is evolution, right? So we have obviously evolved from nothing, right? And to what we are now. And so there's evolution taking place on all of these different scales. So culturally, we're evolving. Jessica DePazzi, one of my partners in the Special Forces Experience, has a podcast called The Shadow Work Library, which I would really suggest you check out if you're interested in self-improvement. But basically, she has cataloged all of the different shadow states of humanity. These are all like the negative patterns that affect our lives, that we do, how we contribute to our own demise in some way, how we contribute to a worse life in some way. But what that actually is she's talking about the evolution from a shadow state to these lighter, like, enlightenment states, right? And so everything, there's always an evolution taking place. And the one of the things that just is incredible about being in 2020 and being in this time in history is we actually kind of hold the pen. Like, we kind of write the story. We decide the evolution. And there's a lot of people that are going to go through this who have not done the work, who aren't asking the right questions, who aren't looking at life as the teacher. And what's going to happen is they're going to come out of this a way worse version of themselves. There's going to be divorces. There's probably going to be suicides. There's going to be people that allow what's happening in the outside world to push through and infect their inside state of being. But what we have the possibility and option to do is evolve ourselves to a higher vibrational state, a higher state of being. We can move from these shadow states that hold us back into a better state of being. We can do that. If we all do that individually, what you'll see is that we'll do that culturally. And you know how we'll know if we've done that culturally is because when this is all over, we won't be so goddamn ashamed of it that nobody ever talks about it or has heard about it. 20 to 50 million people died back in 1918 and very little is ever said about it. I'm hopeful that this isn't going to be that for us. I'm hopeful that we can ask ourselves the tough questions. And is there going to be some grappling with some demons in this process? Fuck yeah, there is. Of course there is, right? There's going to be things that come up because the way that you've been living your life has been taken. You've been thrown out of homeostasis. Humans hate change for that reason. But what humans have the ability to do is adapt to change. And when we do, we evolve. And so we can actually choose the way in which we're adapting. Like I said, there's a lot of people out there that are going to adapt to this in a much worse way. That's just, their marriage is going to be worse. Their family life is going to be worse. Their inner state is going to be worse. And a lot of that is going to stem from the fact that they haven't figured out how to take themselves from that shadow state into those higher states of vibrational being, right? And so as you work through the different shadows in your personality, what you find is all of these things that hold you back, the things that are coming up for you. And that's the question. That's the question it's taken me 23 minutes to get to, is as you sit here in this new state of being, whatever it is for you, I guarantee your life has been changed in some drastic way. And so as you sit here, the question to ask yourself is, what is coming up for you, right? The world is constantly showing us all of these places where we're not free. And I used to think, like, what the hell is the point of, like, these shadows in personality? We're projecting things. We're hurting people. And I look around and I see how much pain all of our shadows and our personality shadows are causing us, the little triggers. And what I realize is they're actually there to lead you into a higher state of being. So you can sit, like I'm asking you today, and ask yourself, what is coming up for me during this time? And whatever that is, it's an invitation to get curious. It's an invitation to start, pop the hood and start looking around and figure out what is coming up for me and why is it, right? Because if you can figure out why that's bothering you, you can work through it and you'll become more free in the process. I think that's really, at the end of the day, no matter what it is that you follow, whether it's religion, personal development advice, doesn't matter. If it leads you to a higher state of dependence on something, it's probably setting you up for a fall, because there's going to come a time where the things you're dependent on have been taken, as we're all seeing. And so really what it should lead you to is a higher state of freedom. But in order to get there, you've got to work through the personal shit. So you've got to ask yourself, what is coming up for me during this time? And if you can figure out what that is, that's your invitation to live higher, to work through that stuff, so that when this is all over, we can talk about it as the time that we really fucking figured it out as a species. Because I think if you can ask yourself what it is that's coming up for you, and then you can get curious, and then you can begin to work through it, you can sit through it. Look, there's coaches for this kind of thing, there's books for this kind of thing, podcasts like I already mentioned. Work through the stuff that's coming up for you, and you're going to be given a greater sense of freedom as a gift. And if you can learn to cultivate a sense of freedom when everything's been taken away from you, I promise that when it's all over, you're going to be a new human. You're going to be a better version of who you were before it all started. And I think, what's the point of going through adversity if we're not going to get better from it? I don't know. That's my personal opinion. I love you guys. Hope you have an amazing week. And we'll talk next week on Morning Coffee.